Jesus, you are highly exalted. Your name is above all names. As we come before your throne of grace today, guide us into all your truth, that we may worship you pleasingly. Help us to understand your word and to identify you as our Lord and Savior. Amen. Good morning, church. The reason why I've decided to just look in the book of Matthew, chapters 21, verses 12 to 22. We are coming now at the end of the year, where everybody else will be looking at the labor of his hands, where everybody else will be desiring to enjoy the work that he has done for the rest of the year. But there's one thing that sometimes we do miss. How would one evaluate his spiritual fruitfulness? It is for this reason that I've picked this text as Jesus was entering Jerusalem. You know, when he begins the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus lays down some principles that are helpful to the believers and to the congregation. And the principle of every king is to bless his own people. That is what is at the center of any king. So for Jesus, in order for him to bless his disciples and to bless anyone who comes to him, if you look to chapters 5 through to chapter 7 of Matthew, but I would like to bring our focus in verses 1 to 10. There in those verses, you will notice that it opens with one blessing, which says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Then the 8th one, which closes as well, qualifies one to be a part in the kingdom of God. He's saying in that, in verses 10, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." In simple terms, what he's saying, he's just saying this: all those who understand their desperate need. One, friends, our desperate need is to be rescued from sin. And the second need is that there is no one who can stand in front of the Holy God except that Jesus Christ cover him with his righteousness. These are the only desperate needs of all men. Then, as he moves on, now when he comes to this chapter, chapter 21, then now the king start now to give the demands. Once you know your spiritual life, and then you need to come to the knowledge of him and his demands. Demand number one is that Christ needs us to love him and love him with all our being. The second demand is that Christ wants us to obey him reservedly. And the third one, he wants us to praise him. But when we look to these verses, is that happening to the people of Israel? Not at all. It is not happening when we look in this chapter. What is it happening in this chapter? Before we come to this chapter, we find two blind men who are sitting along the road in Jericho. And this man, when he comes, they say, "Son of David, have mercy on us." And you know what Jesus Christ did to them? He gave them sight. But amazingly, when he enters his city, Jerusalem, the city that was ordained by God to be his dwelling place, the people there, they are asking a question. Who is this man? Who is this man? Which means now, they don't identify their eternal king. Though they are his coming to his city, they don't identify him. But the crowd gave an answer. You know, even the crowd was not fully understanding him. They say the prophet was coming. He's only a mere prophet from Nazareth. Can you see here to all these people that I've mentioned that they don't fully comprehend him? But when he was sending his disciples to say to them, go to the city and bring to me a colt and its donkey. He was calling himself a Lord. It was for the first time for Jesus Christ throughout his ministry, permitting people to know his identity, even calling himself the Lord. But amazing, when he's getting to his city, they don't fully comprehend him. What did he do? Verses 12 to 17, he do the inspection to the city. What does he find to the city? He's finding people doing their own business, not the business of God. But yet mind you that the city has been declared the city of God. And he goes straight to the temple. When he arrived to the temple, he see people doing their own business, which means the city was changed to be a marketplace. It was no longer a city that worships God. Even the temple was no longer a place where God could dwell. Where God would dwell. Therefore now, Jesus Christ was here to cleanse the temple, to deal with the temple. Why? Because he's the true Israel. All the people of Israel were just pointing to him, to the one who's going to come as a true son of God, as the one who's going to listen from God, as the one who loves God from eternity to eternity. But when he arrived to the city, he does the inspection to the city, and then he finds that their faith was displaced. What do I mean when I say their faith was displaced? The substance of faith, the substance of religion, friends, it's faith. You have to believe to God. That is the one who created all things. That is the substance of religion. But, oh pity them, they didn't know who he was. Listen from what verses 13 says. It is written, my house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers. Meaning that they have changed what God has ordained to be a help even to them, but now they are trying to help them in their own means, not in God's way, in their own understanding. So what Jesus was doing here now, as a king who has got authority now, he throws everybody else, he casted everybody else out of his own dwelling place. You know, friends, the ultimate purpose of the worship temple was to help the poor, was to heal the lame, was to deal with every spiritual need of human beings. But what was happening there now was not helpful. It was just useless for them to praise and worship God in the temple while they know that they don't understand who he is. Hence now, Jesus Christ, if you go to verses 14, he's now trying to restore now the temple worship. What does he do? He heals those who are lame and blind right in the temple. Which means he was saying to them, you religious leaders, what you have been doing does not worth you to be called my children. Then now, when you go down to 15 and 17, he's starting now to interact with the religious leaders. They are asking him, do you hear what these people are saying? Because why they are asking that? Some in the temple, they started praising him. They started saying, Hosanna, Son of David. So which means, save us now. The word Hosanna means save us now. So which means that right in the temple, there were those who look at him and identify him as the one who has been called from the beginning to the end of ages, who would come one day and heal all the nations. But the religious leaders, what were they doing? They have misplaced their faith. Then as Jesus Christ was interacting with the religious leaders, he's asking them a question. Have you not read what was spoken of in the Bible about the infants? So, which means he was trying now to say to them, can you go back to your scriptures and forget about your worship in the temple? Can you go and trace your Jewish writings? What are they saying about praise and infants? You know, it is a crazy thing to find a child worshipping God, while those have been ordained to worship God, they cannot do that. But with God, everything is impossible. It's possible. What do I mean is that if I and you, we do not really identify who Jesus Christ is, the young ones will do that. The young ones will give the praise that is due to him. That is due to him. But in actual facts here, as Jesus Christ was entering the temple, you see most versions, they say it's a victorious entry. But unashamedly, it was not a victorious entry. Because what he was supposed to find in the temple, he could not find it. But it was a defeat. But why Jesus Christ was so victorious in entering? He knew that the days are numbered for the nation of Israel. He was coming here now to pronounce judgment to them. Because if we do not worship God, God, he has the right to do whatever he likes about us. So there were two things that were standing there for Israel. It was for them to be thrown away from his kingdom. But some, those who believe really in him, that you'll find when you open the book of Luke, in the beginning, it has got all the praises for those who are really looking to Jesus, for those who are really looking to God to answer their prayers. But some of us, if we do resemble those who are in the temple, when he comes your way, he's coming with two things to save you, or either, if you're a stiff-necked person, to throw you to hell. That was what was going to happen to the nation of Israel. Because their worship was a worship of pretense. Their worship was only in lips, but in action, they didn't worship God. Then he came now to cleanse the temple and tell them that the day is coming where I will die for you and then save you and the rest of the world. When Jesus comes your way, he brings judgment. He evaluates your heart. What you want to find from your heart is for me and you to know him fully, that he is godly ordained eternal king who created all the things that we see and the things that we do not see. Hence he calls us to give to his rule, unreservedly. Then he goes on now, in verses 18 to 22, when he was looking to the fig tree, these verses, they are now starting to embark on the teaching of Jesus Christ. That is the discipleship, how to follow him. And to follow Jesus Christ, no one can follow Jesus Christ except denying himself, except knowing that he's nothing. And secondly, once you come to that point where you deny yourself, the next thing which you need to know is that if you say he's a Lord of your life, then now you have to take your cross and follow him. That is what exactly those two blind men did after he has rescued them. After he gave them sight,
they followed him.
But the crowd that was giving him homage and shouting, saying, Hosanna, because they didn't actually know exactly him. They were the ones who were going to join the Pharisees and the scribes and say, crucify him. Why? Because they do not fully comprehend who he was. But this blind man, these two blind men, they were joining the band of disciples who have been walking with him throughout his ministry. Though even them, they have not actually come to the climax where they fully comprehend him. But there was one thing that was amazing about them. After they saw the miracles that he was doing, after they saw his teachings, they decided to follow him. It might happen that sometimes we come to church because we see the powerful things that God does for us. What you need as well to do, just look at his teachings. A true disciple of Christ and follower of Christ, consider his power and as well his teaching. Not only his power. That is why today you find that most people, they think that will be blessed. It is to have everything that you would love to have on earth. But according to what is said in Matthew chapter 5 verses 1 to 10, if you know your spiritual need, then you will seek to be under the cross every day of your life. Because the cross is the one that is going to shape you. The cross is the one that is going to make you even understand the things in God's perspective, not in your own way. So as Jesus Christ was coming to the fig tree, he saw the fig tree. And the fig tree, now, it was as per his word. He cast a fig tree and then went through to Jerusalem and went through the temple. Then now he begins the conversation with his disciples. They are so amazed and they are asking, why has this happened? Why has this happened? You know what he said to them? He started referring to them to two things. That faith and prayer, they go together. What does that mean, friends? It means that having faith in Christ or God makes your communication between you and God to be harmonious. So that whenever you ask God for whatever, he's not in this like saying that you need to have much bigger faith. But the simple thing that he's saying is that you must have faith in him. That he's who he is. You don't have to doubt him. That he created all the things and is the one to consummate all the things. It doesn't matter what hardships, what circumstances you are facing. But if you have faith that God does exist and he created you and me, then you are safe in coming to church every day. But if you don't believe that you are his creation, if you don't believe that the circumstances that come your way, they are here to shape you. Hence now, the nation of Israel was not in their land. They were in Rome under Roman rule. They were scattered all over the world. Why was that? It was because God decided to judge them and say, I won't keep you in my land. Then I will banish you out of my land. But they were coming every year when Passover was coming to worship and to do all these festivals. But all their festivals were meaningless to God. Because inwardly, they were dead religiously. They were seemed to be possessing a living faith. That is why when you see this fig tree, it's an acted parable. It is a wise saying which was signifying the life of Israel. It was a wise saying that was saying Israel looks like this fig tree, which means outwardly, as they perform their rituals, as they do all these things, you would think that really they are in the presence of God. But in reality, they were not in the presence of God. They were not in the presence of God. So they were only actors of their spiritual life. They were only now performing their spiritual life without the person who's supposed to lead them. Meaning their relationship with God was broken according to verses 21 to 22. Their relationship with God was broken. It was broken. Listen to what Jesus is saying to his disciples in verses 21 to 22. When they say, how could this happen to this tree? He's saying, truly I tell you, if you have faith and do not doubt, not only can you do what was done to the fig tree, but also you can say to this mountain, go, throw yourself into the sea, and it will be done. 22, if you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer. Friends, prayer is the final stage of praise and worship. A believer who cannot pray to God has always to evaluate his relationship with God. Prayer is the final stage of honoring God. It is a platform that God has created for me and you, that when the times of trouble are coming my way, do I go to a person next to me? Or do I go to my neighbors? Or do I go to a friend of mine? But a believer, whenever trouble comes his way, he goes to his knees and expresses worship to God. It does not mean that you are going through some hard times, that God has vacated his throne. He will ever be in his throne forever. Ages and ages will come and go, but God will never go. God will never go. He will always sit in his seat. Nevertheless, what you might be thinking about him, but God will never change to be God. God will never leave his place. So praise and prayer, they go together. And then when the people, they are praising God, they are praying to God, it means that those people, they have been forgiven. How could you pray to one who has not forgiven you? Here in this passage, 18 to 22, prayer, faith, and forgiveness, all these three things which are key to our spiritual life, they are packed there. The reason why you go to God and pray to him, it is that you are assured that all those who come to him, he will forgive them and he will answer their prayers. But what was it for Israel? They were only worshiping when the festivals are coming. But God was not in their center. What was the trouble with them? The trouble was at the center of the nation. Jerusalem was a city that was appointed to be a dwelling place of God. And this was the greatest privilege ever given on earth to man and to a nation and to her people, to bear the name of the Most High God, to be promised his presence. So the temple was signifying God's presence and protection. But the question is, did they enjoy God's presence and protection? Not at all. They were scattered all over the Roman Empire, governed by the Romans, only coming to the temple during the religious festivals. What was the trouble and problem? It was at the center of their religious life. As well with me, it might happen that I'm going through some troubles and you are going through some troubles. But the problem is not around the people that you are fellowshipping with. It is right in the center of your heart. It is not somewhere else. Maybe you prioritize some other things in your heart other than prioritizing God. You know those who prioritize God. Whenever the weather could be, it does not change their focus. Their focus remains the same. They only focus to the one who died for them. They only focus to their eternal King, whom they know that he came on earth to rescue them from sin and usher them to eternity. But yeah, whenever circumstances are coming your way, if Jesus Christ is enthroned in your heart, you will be ever praising. You will be content
by whatever circumstances that are coming your way. But when your faith is displaced, when your faith cannot help you, you will be crying tears like a hopeless person. Jesus Christ demands from us that we need to praise Him and worship Him in truth and in spirit. Then if we do that, He will ever dwell in our hearts and He will rescue us from whatever situation that is coming our way. Let's pray. Gracious Father, to You all hearts are opened, and You know all desires of men. You know even the secrets of every heart. Through Your word cleanses our hearts and breathe Your spirit so that we may not only worship You with lips, our minds may fully understand You so that from our hearts You may get the praises You deserve. We ask all this in the name of Jesus Christ, who is our Lord and Savior. Amen.